Upptäck hyllade XPeng G9 och P7 hos Bilia. Våra produktspecialister hjälper dig att hitta rätt modell för just dig. Boka din provkörning på bilia.se/xpeng redan idag. Välkommen till Bilia, din specialist på XPeng.
De kan skriva mina citat innan jag ens säger dem. Så.
Där har vi en dialog. Vi har ambitionen att det ska vara klart ganska snart.
Kommer man att se en mycket spännande fortsatt utveckling. Hur vi ska utveckla GIF Sundsvall. Vi har en spännande utvecklingsresa. Mycket spännande utvecklingsresa.
Han har klokt nog att välja Sundsvall som nästa utvecklingsminister.
Det är en spännande lösning.
Spännande mål. Väldigt spännande central mittfält.
Du lyssnar på GIF-podden. I den 85:e matchminuten Peter Wilson.
GIF-podden är tillbaka med ett nytt avsnitt. Och i vanlig ordning så är det ju jag, Lukas Salin här. Men också dagens gäst till ära. It's a tradition to introduce yourself with full name. I want your middle names and so on. So,
okay. I don't have middle name, but
you don't have?
No.
That's too boring.
It is a bit boring.
Yeah.
But my full name is Peter McCrillis.
That's boring.
Pretty simple. Sorry. No.
But it is an the name has got a little attention just because mackerel is a fish.
Mackerel, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes. Some of the boys call me mackerel.
Yeah. I won't even stay in that. We won't speak about it right now. We just leave it for now. Okay?
Forget
about it. Yeah. But they have a salmon in Degerfors, so...
In where, sorry?
In Degerfors.
A salmon?
Yeah, his name is Salmon.
But there's also a salmon in our team, no?
No.
I think they call him Lux.
Lux.
Yes.
Who is that?
The Bormann?
Yeah, Marcus Burman.
Burman, no? Yes.
Yeah.
They call him Lux.
I will have to do a little research. Yes. I haven't heard it, but interesting.
This is a rumor.
Yeah. Okay. But we will move on with the quick questions then. Thank you. Do you have any nicknames?
No.
No? What do you eat for breakfast?
Lately it's been this toast with turkey, like I said before. Turkey with cheese, some eggs.
And your family?
Yep.
How does it look like? Who are there?
Who's in my family?
Yeah.
So I got my wife, my beautiful newborn son, Valentino.
Good job.
Yep. Then I got my little puppy, Mario, his name is. He's 4 years old, but he's really small.
What kind of dog?
A mini Maltese.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's really special to us. And that's my family. Then I've got obviously my mother and father, my brothers and sisters back home.
And your first football club or soccer, do you say soccer or football?
They used to say back in Australia soccer, but I think now it's gone more football saying. But my first club was called Elwood Wanderers.
Okay, and if you would look at a more famous player than yourself, who do you compare yourself with in style of playing?
I've never really looked at who I compare myself to, but maybe someone like Lampard, box to box, likes to get in the box to score, I would say, maybe that.
Do you have any idol or had any idol when you were younger?
When I was younger, no. No, I didn't really look up to anyone.
You were the greatest.
No, I wasn't the greatest. But I just...
It can be outside the football as well. Mom or anything.
I'm not too sure, actually. Idol. My father, maybe. That's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do on a day off?
Day off. Just now spend time with my family. Spend time with my son. Just eat some nice food, maybe, together.
What is nice food in Sundsvall?
Sundsvall. Oh, it's a good question. I've been to Invinto.
Yeah, Italian.
So they have to give me a sponsor now.
Yeah.
That's nice food there, nice Italian food.
And the owner loves football.
He does, yes. Yeah,
he does. And loves GIF.
Yep.
Sometimes he calls me. He has called me when the podcast is not coming out as it should, yes? When we have technical problems.
Well, he's going to listen to this now. Maybe he probably can give me some nice...
Yep.
A nice meal on the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Italian's nice, yeah.
What do you listen to?
Music.
No.
R&B music. Greek music. I love Greek music.
Oh.
Yeah.
Relaxes Zorba me. Dance or and so on.
Sorry?
Zorba.
Zorba, yes.
That's the Greek music, yes, I know.
Yes. But yeah, it's really relaxing.
Zorba.
Zorba, no. But there's a big and all this other stuff is good.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Oh.
Juggling or something?
No, I don't actually.
Acting.
No, I'm not a good actor at all.
No.
From what you see is what you get with me, I'll say.
Okay. But you have a mask.
The mask, yes. Yeah. Not anymore.
No.
I had the mask.
Is it over now?
Mm. Finished. The mask, it's been, I had it. Because it had to take 6 weeks for my face to fully recover. So 6 weeks was yesterday. So I don't need to wear the mask anymore.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be a newborn?
Really good. I couldn't really see properly with that, so it's a bit difficult.
What's your most important football memory?
Oh, most important. Probably representing my nation, Australia. That was a big achievement.
Is it like the under 23 national team?
It was, yeah, like the young Socceroos.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was the young team.
Yeah, that's the nickname of the.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Socceroos. And the Matildas.
Matildas, yes.
They are coached by a guy from this town. Did you know that?
No way! Wow.
Tony Gustafsson. He's from Sundsvall.
Wow. You didn't know? I didn't know that. No, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Now you're more educated.
Yeah, it's
than
crazy.
A minute ago.
Wow. Because my sister also represented the Matildas back many years ago. But it's crazy. How long has he been the coach for there?
What is it? A couple of years, I think. He has his last trainer job before joining the Matildas was in GIF Sundsvall. He came back from Tony Gustafsson. He has been... like the manager of the United States women's national team.
Amazing.
Then he came back to help GIF Sundsvall stay in Allsvenskan, but he didn't succeed, and then he joined the...
He was the main coach?
Yeah.
Wow.
He is on the picture on the wall here.
Maybe
I can choose him. Down... we have...
With the glasses?
No. He's to the right, second row... to the right, main right. Yeah, yeah, you're there.
Wow, I've never seen you before. Interesting. good, thanks for that.
Yeah, no problems. You made it through the quick questions. Yeah. Good job.
Thank
you. You were born in Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia, yeah.
But also with Greek origin.
Greek origin.
Those countries are not neighbors, so can you tell me about your family mixture?
Yeah, both my parents are Greek. Their parents were born in Greece, but my parents were born in Australia. So yeah, my background is Greek, but I was born in Sydney, Australia.
And do you know how they met?
My parents?
Wow,
good question.
Mm?
I think they met through their friends, put them on a blind date, I think it was. The rest is history,
okay. Vi ska också säga det. Vi har Ebba med oss idag också som har praktik med oss den här veckan. Ebba Lindahl. Och jag tror säkert att vana ST-läsare känner igen Ebba genom hennes pappa Fredrik. Sorry, Peter. I need to introduce Ebba.
That's fine.
So, om det kommer in någon extra fråga här så är det Ebba. How did you grow up then in Sydney, Australia? How was it?
It was good. Fine. Australia is a good place for family, for children, safe. Ordinary kid, really.
Yeah. What did they work with? Your parents?
What do they do for work? My father, he drives like a bus coach around. And my mother was like a carer for elderly people, taking care of them and helping them.
Mm. Yeah. How would you say that your childhood and parents has shaped you as a person?
Definitely. Yeah, who I am today, obviously, is because of my parents. They're very, very, very lucky to have them. They sacrificed a lot for us, my brother and sister as well. They actually, when I moved to England at 13, my parents and my brother and sister moved their whole life for me. To be able to, for me to chase my dreams, I would say. So I don't think many parents would do that. So
yeah, very lucky. Because you moved to Stoke.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you have also been in Barcelona for a short while.
Correct.
How old were you then?
I was 13. So yeah. I was there for just under a year in the La Masia.
Mm.
And then after that, just before I turned 14, I moved. Mm. I went and signed a 6-year contract in England.
That is interesting. How did the move to, at first, Barcelona come up?
Well, I don't know if you have it here in Sweden. Mm. There's a competition called the Nike Cup,
mm.
where one team from per region, per country,
mm.
plays in a tournament, and the winner of that per country goes to Manchester.
Mm.
And they play in a competition called the Nike Cup, Manchester Cup. They probably called it back in the day when I was there. And my team actually won it in the Oceania region. And I was in a group with Barcelona and Arsenal, Manchester United. So I got to play against those clubs, and I'm obviously made an impact on someone there at the club, and they gave me the opportunity to go in and go on a couple week trial, and ended up staying there for 9 months.
How did they approach you?
I think I approached my father.
Mm.
And they just wanted to know my situation. Just invited me basically formally to go, and yeah, it was life changing for me, really.
Yeah. Did you move with your family or father?
No. Well, there I actually, my father came with me for about 3-4 weeks just to get me settled in, because I didn't know if I was going to stay for 9 months. So I just went there, and it was like a trial, really. And then they just continued wanting me to stay. And yeah, my father ended up going home, and I stayed.
But how is that? It's like the world's most famous academies. Yeah. How is it to be there? No one of us will get a chance. So
I hope so. I hope someone does, because it's something very special, you know, like from... when you go in there, you need to be on a special list, you know, there's security with guns and like to not allow anyone in, big gates. And once you go in, it's like football heaven, maybe. I would say. Yeah. So yeah, I teed up walking through the facilities and stuff, because it was just so special.
Hmm. What is the extraordinary with La Masia?
I don't know. I think it's just, what it means really to be there. Like, it's everyone's dream really to even step forward, put on one of their jerseys. So I'm lucky enough, obviously it was at a really young age, but still I feel really privileged to put on a training kit, at least, you know, train with the players. And I was training to the next pitches, like the first team sometimes, where I could see Messi and Xavi running around like next to me. It was crazy.
Did any of the players you played with have more of a breakthrough internationally?
At the time I was with Bellerin, and when I left he got a transfer to Arsenal, and he's done really well from there.
He's cool. I like him.
He's cool, yeah. He's a really cool guy, yeah.
I like he's like a co-owner in a team in England called Forest Green Rovers.
They're
the only eco club in the world.
I think he's a vegan now.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Was he interested in those things back then?
No, I don't think so. Because also I'm a supporter of Arsenal, so he's someone that I follow closely, and I don't think he was up to a couple of years ago with that kind of stuff.
Would he remember you?
I don't know. I might have to see him one day and say, hey, you remember me?
But how was it to move there so young? And your parents left after a few weeks.
Yeah, my father left. And then I returned home after, obviously, 9 months. And I had the opportunity to go to England. But then I had to move there alone for about 2 years. I was living alone with, they call it digs. It's like a housing that worked for the club, and you move in with a family. Yeah, really difficult. It's tough. So, my parents ended up moving over because it was that tough for me.
What was the tough part for you?
It's just, you know, not being at home. I was 14 years old. Like, if you think back, 14 years old, moving the whole opposite country to live with a random family that you don't know, you know, it's really not easy. It's tough, really. You know, missing out on my childhood. I never really had a childhood growing up because I was so invested in my football career. And but I wouldn't change it for the world, really.
No.
Yeah. Good experience.
How do you reflect about that now?
If I look back,
yeah,
I would do many things differently. Just I grew up really quickly. So, obviously, everyone could change something growing up. But at the end of the day, things happen for reasons. I wouldn't be right here, right now, if it wasn't for every decision that I've made. I wouldn't be married to my beautiful wife and have my amazing son. So, I'm happy.
Yeah. It's all worked out. I understood that you have been together with your wife for a long time, right?
Yes.
Since you were a teenager.
18 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where did you meet her?
I met her in Sydney, actually. I actually went home on one of my breaks when I was in Stoke, because we have a summer break there, but it's winter in Australia. And actually, my brother and her sister knew each other, and I went to her sister's birthday, and saw her, fell in love directly, I'd say.
What's her name?
Erica.
Erica.
Yes.
And she's Australian.
Australian, Italian background.
Okay.
Like my both parents are Greek. Her parents are both Italian.
Okay. But so Stoke and your football education there. Can you tell about that? Those years.
Yeah, it was. Where can I start? Yeah, it's really interesting. Obviously, at the time, Tony Pulis was a coach when I first went there. So he was really different type of football. And mostly back when I was playing in England, the academy got taught how to play like the first team. So whatever philosophy and type of football the first team played, we had to try and mirror that so we can eventually, you know, get into the first team and not feel left out once, you know, not knowing the ideas of things. But yeah, it was interesting. You know, he played a very direct football. I had also Mark Hughes as a coach, first team coach, and that changed again.
He's very physical, right?
Tony Pulis, definitely. He's a tough man. But like with the club that I was at, it was a category one club, so had the best facilities, on par with Arsenal and Chelsea and United and stuff. So yeah, it was a brilliant place to be. Learned my football trade there, 6 years, played with many, many good players, trained first team quite a lot. So
you did?
I did, yeah.
But never made your debut for
How come,
do you think?
I don't know. I always look back what I could have done differently, but I don't know what it was. Maybe I wasn't ready in their eyes. I'm not too sure.
How was it going for you in those years? It was going Stoke.
Really good. I played really good football. I was playing at a high level, I would say. Training near the end of my contract with the first team every day.
Mm.
But I just, you know, got to a stage being away from family, and my family was actually with me, but my brother and sister moved back home, and I just felt the family was split because of me. So I just wanted to regather everyone and a little bit homesick, because also I met my wife girlfriend at the time last year. So yeah, returned back home after that. I had the chance to stay in England, but I made a decision as a young man to move back home and just be with family again for a little bit.
That's really interesting to and in that stage of choosing a bit between family and career. Can you let me in? How were you thinking?
Well, I thought back on what they did for me, how they gave up everything, for me to follow my dreams. And I knew it wasn't over. I was still young, and I knew I would get another chance to come into Europe, because obviously it's difficult coming from Australia and coming into Europe and trying to make it. You know, it's really tough. So, but I knew I would, if the chance was gonna come again, that, you know, it was because I'm a true believer in Jesus, that he made my path, and that's what I was supposed to do, go back home and just regather my head, really, and be with my family.
Mm. What did that give you to regain, to move back home?
I think everything, really, because sometimes I didn't see my parents like for 2 years, didn't see my brother. You know, it's not easy. I didn't have that relation. I had a really close relationship with my siblings, but you know, not seeing them and still having that strong relationship with them is special, really. But yeah, like I said, it wasn't easy, but that's a decision I made, and I don't regret it at all, because like I said,
and I think it's cool to move to Europe on the other side of the world so young, and then to also take the decision to move back home.
Yeah, it's very, if I look back now, I think, well, what are you doing? But you know, like, it was my dream. I don't know how I did it. If I think back, like, everything that I've had to go through and sacrifice, I would probably tell my son, if he asked me, like, don't do it. But if my son one day wants to do that, I'll do exactly what my parents did and let him chase whatever his dream is.
But to be there at one of England's top academies like that, and not really reaching the top and move back home, can you also see it like, if you look at sports-wise, was it a failure?
You can look at it at that, or you can look at it as an experience.
Mm?
Maybe at the time when I was young, my attitude wasn't correct. I could look at it as it was a failure and not good enough, or the other opposite way, that it's okay, like, you know, it could go both ways, really. But you know, I've matured a lot, grown up a lot, so I look back and I think, like, wow, like, look what you've tried to do, look what you've experienced. No one really has experienced what you have and what you've experienced in football and in life in general. You know, it wasn't just football. Football was like 3 hours of the day. The whole other day, what were you doing? I was meeting friends. You know, I had to go to school in England, so I did 2 years of school. Oh, 2 years of school. Sorry.
And tappa flaskan här.
Yes, got my bottle. Two years of school in England. So, you know, I went to school my whole life in Australia, and all of a sudden, you have to go into a school where everyone knows you're a football player, you know, and that was different too, you know. Because in Stoke, everyone follows football, obviously. Everyone knows who you are. And yeah, interesting times. So it was a good experience overall. I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah, if you compare yourself and your personality now compared to back then, being a teenager, how have you been changing since then?
A lot. I was I'm a totally different person.
Yeah, but tell me. How?
I don't know. My attitude, number one, I'm very more humble. Maybe I thought I was better than what I was maybe back when I was younger. If I had the right attitude, maybe I could have been playing in the Premier League, definitely. Mm. But, you know, it is what it is. Mm. Once I met my wife, you know, she not molded me into the better person, but she makes me a better person every day. So without her, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Do you think that was the game changer for your personality?
I think so. Mm. Yeah. She played a big part, impacted my life. Also, Jesus did, big believer, like I said, and yeah, I wanted to do the right things by him, and yeah, just be a good person, really. I always thought it was all about me, football, but there's more to football. It's family, friends.
You have mentioned your religion here and Jesus a couple of times. Tell me more.
He's my Lord and Savior, so I've followed my life through his word, and I'm a big believer.
You have always been?
Always been. I've not as strong, but I've always been a believer in Jesus. But the last 4 or 5 years, I've grown closer to him, and special.
Is it, would you say that you are a Christian, or are you
Catholic? I'm Christian. Well, my religion is Greek Orthodox, so I was baptized, but I believe I'm a Christian, like everybody else, whoever he is, and believe in what he said and what the Bible writes.
Did the importance of religion grow these last years when you also mentioned that you have become more humble?
Definitely.
Are they correlated?
Well, you always look at yourself in the mirror and you say, how can I be a better person, you know? And that's something definitely that I looked at. And I wasn't always the best person, like all of us, we all have our faults, and I wanted to be the best person I could be. So it's definitely something I've wanted to change. Also, now I've got my son, so I want him to look at me as a role model, and like my father did, grew me up really well, and that's why I want to do the same with my son.
What was his name?
His name is Valentino.
Valentino.
Yes.
How did you pick that name?
Well, normally with my religion, it's a culture, I would say. You call him after your parents. But I just felt, he needs his own name because maybe, Valentino, we had different names, 4 or 5 names that we were thinking about, but Valentino was the one as soon as we saw his face.
An Italian one.
Italian. But his middle name is after my father, Emmanuel. So.
Oh, he has an
He has a middle one. So he's cool.
He's cool. He's not boring like you. I'm sorry. You moved back to Australia for Rochdale City. You were 19 years old. Is that right? How was that to move back then?
Well, that's what I said when I moved back home. I needed it, I think. Just to play, okay level. Just to get playing, enjoy myself, was a good experience. Always with an idea, I wanted to go back to Europe. But, it was a good experience. Played with many of my old friends as well, which was nice.
And it must be other things then that... that is, football get different meanings.
Of course,
I guess.
Definitely, Well, when I moved back there, I always thought I would want to come back. I always wanted to come back, but I never really had it in my plan. things happen for reasons, don't they? Things opened up, doors opened, doors closed. So.
Ebba, hur har du det på? Hur är läget?
Det är bra.
På golvet. Vi har Ebba på golvet här bredvid. Men yeah, okay, and then after just 1 year you changed to Sydney Olympic.
Yes.
One of the greatest clubs, right?
Yes. Mm? Big historic Greek club.
Mm.
Yeah, good experience. I had an injury there.
Mm.
My groins, I had to get a surgery on both of them actually in one time. So I didn't really play. I played maybe 2 games or something.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't the best year for me, but yeah, things happen.
Mm. How is the Australian League?
It's good. It's growing very much. Eventually, I do want to go back and play in the Australian A-League, so that's something I definitely am looking at later on in my career. But yeah, it's good, really good level. It's grown a lot from when I left at 14, it was... The level was really low, I would say, but now definitely the level has increased a lot. Yeah.
Do you think you're able to move just a little bit closer to the microphone? You're backing a little bit.
Am I?
Yeah.
<You're> scaring me.
Yeah. And how is supporter culture down there?
Sorry,
the supporter culture.
Really good.
Mm.
Similar to here, actually, because every every suburb, I would say, has a team, and yeah, the people in that suburb follows that team. So the supporters are really passionate, I would say.
Mm. After this, you have been moving a lot.
Yes.
You went to Panionios.
Panionios, yes.
In Greece, is that correctly pronounced?
Correct, exactly, yeah.
Mariehamn in Finland, Slavia Sofia in Bulgaria, and Fredericia in Denmark, and now GIF Sundsvall. Why have you been moving so much?
There's no reason why. It's just I signed short-term contracts.
Mm.
I didn't want to be tied down to a long contract, I would say, because I'm bad experiences from Greece, I would say.
It often turns out to be that way.
It turns out
it seems to be a lot of bad experience, at least for Swedish players in
Greece. Yeah, it's it was not a good experience.
Problems so, with getting your salary and so
very
on.
Very true. I better say,
how was it for you?
Not good. I didn't get a salary in like 2 years, I would say.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really crazy time. But I was playing football the first year, you know, I had a big opportunity, like I said, from just playing, going, moving after England back home and playing in the top league in Greece is massive. You know, it's one of the top 10 football countries, leagues in the world.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to go there. I was actually on trial. I did really well and they gave me a 2.5 year contract.
Mm.
Yeah, was playing the first year. Got into the semi-final of the cup with my club. Because Panionios is actually one of the most historic. It's a first team ever in Greece to be made. So it was a big club, big history, and yeah, I was enjoying my football.
Hej, Synoptik här. Visste du att solens UV-strålar kan vara skadliga och åldra dina ögon i förtid? Kom in till oss så hjälper vi dig att hitta rätt solglasögon som skyddar dina ögon. Välkommen till Synoptik.
Just nu till alla hemmafixare som gillar Julas låga priser. Ett borr och bitset i 70 delar för snurriga 249 kronor. Inget kan stoppa dig nu.
I was young, so I just didn't really care about getting my money and but eventually, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, can you live anymore? Have you got enough money to buy groceries and put food on the table? So it got to
was it that bad?
Yeah, it got to a stage where I couldn't afford to eat, really.
Is it true?
Yeah, very true.
But so, how did you survive?
Well, savings, whatever I had.
from Stoke or what?
Yeah, from Stoke, from working. Help from parents. Yeah, so it was tough. But you know, I had to make a decision to finish the contract there in Bañuelos. I wasn't, and once you know you experience that and you go explain to the club your situation, things didn't go so well, then I stopped playing, you know, so not playing, not getting paid was not good. So then I had to make a decision to, you know, I wasn't playing, I think 6 months I didn't play a game, and I had to make a decision to restart my career, you know, get myself back in the market. I had an opportunity in Finland, so the strongest leagues, but it was a risk for me to go there because things could have gone really bad or good.
You must have been giving up a lot of money probably that you would have right to.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Do you know how much?
Yes. How much? I'd rather not say, but okay. it was a lot of money. So.
Okay. So then you turned to Finland, Mariehamn, and you played with the Saku Ylätupa.
Yes, big Saku.
How was it?
Good experience. He actually came halfway through the season. He's a good boy. I really like him. So good player. Good character also.
Yeah, and how was his playing then? In Mariehamn?
Similar. But I've seen him, he's grown a lot since then, I would say. I told him that when I first came, so yeah, really proud of him that he's doing really well for himself, and yeah, just gotta stick at it really.
How is it to rejoin with Saku after a couple of years?
It was good, really good feeling. Obviously when I heard the interest from Sandsville, like I looked in the team to see, you know, which kind of players I had, and I saw Saku, and I was like, oh wow, it was really weird because that really doesn't happen much. But yeah, when I first came, I felt really comfortable. He's the first one I really spoke to, and yeah, he made me feel really welcome and telling me about the town, and yeah, he's one of the reasons why I did come, I would say as well.
Did you speak to him
before? I spoke with him closer to when things were official and stuff like that.
What did he say?
He said to come. We need you, we need your help.
Yeah, they and really did.
The town's really pretty, small town, nice people.
And he mentioned a great media climate probably.
Yeah, I forgot that. He said the media's great.
How do you look at these, if we summarize these moves, how do you look at it? Do you enjoy moving around, see the world, or would you like to settle down somewhere?
I would like to settle down, definitely. It's not been easy because some places after a year or 6 months, I'm moving, me and my wife, like packing up things and moving countries. It's not easy to do that. It's very good experience, exciting experience, but very tiring one. So that's why when I came, I've signed a 1.5 year contract there. I think that's the longest one after I signed in Greece, because I wanted to see myself here for a longer period of time. And even longer if things go well, you know. So, yeah, things obviously haven't gone to plan when I came, but you know, it's not over yet, and 7 big more games to turn things around.
Yeah, and you have 10-13 years more of your career to settle down.
Correct.
So, when do you see yourself settle down here?
Sorry,
here in Sundsvall.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. I came here with really good intentions to be here, not for a short period of time. Now I've got my son. I don't want to be moving countries with my son. You know, it's it's not ideal. So the plan was to come here for a longer period, and that's what I want to do.
The club is in a tough situation. What do you think about if they will be relegated now? What do you think about your future
then? It's always difficult, you know. Coming here, I knew that would be a possibility, I would say. But I still believe strongly that we can turn this around, you know. And I think we will. So I want everyone, all the fans, to be behind us. We need them. And I think without them, we won't be able to do it. So we need them as a 12th man at every game if they can. And with their support, we will do our best to turn this around for the town.
So you're not really thinking about worst case scenario. No. If
I've learned to live in the moment. When that time comes, I'll look at it, see what's best for my family. But right now, I've got one goal, and that's first to get myself back fit, which I am now after this injury of mine, and yeah, just play with everything, and I'm sure the boys are going to do the same.
We will come back to your injury in a while, but I'm interested in during these seasons in different clubs, where have you been in your prime?
In my prime? I would say in Bulgaria. Yeah. I was playing my best football. Yeah.
You scored a lot of goals.
Many goals.
You were a Lampard.
Yes, I was a Lampard there. I did really well. I actually went there December time, and first half season, I think it was 9 goals in 15 games. So I did really well. I got off to a really good start. Really enjoying my football. Yeah, I still had contract there. And then I found out my wife was pregnant. So that's another situation I was in where I had to make a decision. I didn't really feel comfortable having my baby in Bulgaria. You know, the hospitals and healthcare wasn't good. Beautiful country, but just not, you know, didn't feel really comfortable for that. So that's why I decided to go to Denmark. It was, second division, but I had to make a decision where the healthcare was good. It was either that or move back home. Definitely Bulgaria was my peak.
So how was your alternatives looking like back then? But scoring a lot of goals.
I had many
pretty young
options. To go to big clubs in Bulgaria. Also other countries in Europe I had offers from. But like I said, I had to make a sacrifice football wise. For my family. And really glad I did that too. It was obviously, it knocked me down a bit with my football, but you know, I had to do what was best for us.
Family comes first.
I agree. Yes.
We have been speaking about this moving, but have you been in conflicts with your club? Is it like Mario Balotelli moves has it been good as it should be?
Yeah, I've never had any problem other than in Greece.
You're not an asshole.
No, I'm definitely not. I'm a very good man. Like I said, what you say is what you get. I'm not a bad person. In Bulgaria, actually, I had a year left of my contract. And I just explained my situation to them. That this is what I need for my family. And, you know, I was a big player for them because I actually saved them from relegation, exactly like the situation we are here in GIF. They were in a very similar position, and I came and I did really well to help them. And yeah, I was the most important player, and for them to just let me go is a big thing, you know. It doesn't happen often, but you know, I had a really good relationship with the president, with the coach, sport director, and they understood, you know, that I needed that. And I'll thank them time and time again for that, because you know, yeah, they help me a lot.
Mm. I think it's very interesting that so much of the your career and life is about family and to put safety in priority.
Exactly.
It's interesting and yeah, I like it. I see you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then Sundsvall finally came up.
Yes.
How come?
Well, actually, when I was in Bulgaria, Sundsvall was an option.
Mm.
They were looking at me seriously. Things didn't go to plan because Sweden was somewhere where I was targeting to come because of the good healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking which are the best healthcare, Denmark, Sweden, Austria, Switzerland, all these places have really good. So I was planning on just getting myself somewhere here so I can also play at a good level. And obviously my family to be in good hands. So Sundsvall was an option, it wasn't just now, it's been two years brewing for me to come here. It was going to be after Bulgaria, but things didn't work out. And yeah, when I was in Denmark, I signed a short-term contract for the reason of just to have my son. And yeah, and Sundsvall came up and it was a perfect solution for me. I had other solutions, but I had to choose the right one.
Yeah, Brian has told that he has been following you for a few years. How was the first contact?
First contact was when I was in Bulgaria through someone that I knew Brian. And yeah, we've been in touch. I've been on Brian's radar for quite a while. And yeah, I look up to him actually. He's a really good man. And yeah, he's the main reason, one of the main reasons why I did come to Sundsvall. To play under him and yeah, to help him as much as I can.
Do you know how he found you?
I don't know, but it was through a friend, someone that I knew him. So word of mouth.
He has a wide contact net.
Yes.
So he does, yes. He does. So how do you look at your start here?
Not ideal. I came here in good shape, hoping to do what I did in Bulgaria, but things like you've seen, I haven't been so lucky. I had this face fracture in three places, which I've never experienced ever. It just happened from really nothing, which was a bit crazy, I would say. Then trying to find out if I could play with a mask, if it's safe, and then them telling me that I need operation because my face is gonna look different and it's gonna be like having a dent in my face if I don't have operation, and then me agreeing to it, and then going to get the surgery on the day, then them saying I don't need the surgery. So yeah, it's been real up and down emotions, and but you know, I'm okay now, praise the Lord. And yeah, the mask is off, so I'm not the mask man anymore. but the club did everything they could to get me back on the pitch as soon as possible, and I'm really grateful for that. You know, without them, I think I wouldn't have found a mask to play with. I would have just been training alone for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and it's just if you put all those things together, the bad start for you with the injury, it's tough for the club and your family with a newborn. And you moved here alone at first.
No, I came with my wife.
You did.
I came actually. Let me think back. No, I came here for the first game. It was against. Hammarby.
Okay.
Hammarby was correct, yeah. Hammarby, and then I returned home after that game. Came for 3-4 days before. Returned home to pick up my... Because my son was only 2 weeks old. So the problem was how it's a safest way to get him here, to drive, to get the train, or to. So we ended up saying we need to get here, and just came on the plane. He was only 2 weeks old. It was crazy, crazy things we've done.
Such an intense start.
Very intense, yeah. Mm. But he's okay. So that's the most important. And my family came direct with me.
How is that emotionally to have that kind of start?
I've never really had that, because it's different when it's just you and your girlfriend or you and your wife, or but you always put your loved ones first, because when you see them happy and comfortable, you automatically are. You know, when they're a bit uncomfortable and they might not like the place or things like this, you know, this affects you. So for me, the club has helped me a lot here to make my family comfortable. And yeah, I wish I didn't get this injury, because I felt really good and I could have given a lot to the club. But, you know, things happen. I'm back now, and we only need to look forward. We can't look backwards anymore. And yeah, we're really positive about this next month and a half away.
How do you live? An apartment or?
I live in an apartment, yes.
Yeah, okay. And how do you think life here is?
It's nice, quiet. More like me, I'm not really not outgoing. I'm really outgoing, actually. I'm just not loud and need to be busy all the time. Just I'm family man, quiet, have a nice coffee. Actually have my mother and father-in-law here with us, helping us settle and help us with the baby and stuff. So that's been really nice to have them here for a couple of months. So that helps us.
Är det dags, Ebba?
Yes.
Vi säger tack för idag.
Nice to meet you.
Ebba is out for the day.
Yes, day off.
Yeah, she has been doing a good job, as always. Well done. Yeah, but if we look at the team, which players are you more close to?
Obviously, I connect with Sako, because I know him previously. Joe and Forrest, because they're English speaking, I have a different relationship with them. Paya, I get along with. Castro, now the new boy, he's like our little son. We have to look after him, but he's interesting character.
Tell me.
Loud, really loud. I'm sure everyone will agree. But good heart. Good, he's a good boy.
Loud in what way?
He's a joker.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah.
That will be interesting to hear and see more of in the future.
Yes. You will. You will.
He seems to be a good guy.
He's a good guy. Also, Eric, I get along with Eric really well. Yeah, all the guys, they all have different characters. I would say it's a one team with many characters in one team. So it's interesting. Yeah, all good guys.
If you look at your welcoming to the city, is it any person who has been more important for you
in the city,
from the club or the team or anyone else?
Brian's been big help at the beginning, definitely, because he also has a newborn boy, which has helped me with a couple of things with that. Sandra, physios, helped me a lot, obviously with my injury. Urban, definitely, he's been a big help. Matthias, club doctor, made a lot of time.
More than you would want to.
Yeah, I didn't want him to make the time, but he's been a lot of help too.
As a football player, what is inspiring you?
To play football? I love football. It's all that I know, really. When I play, I feel happy. Happiest, so... I love it. I love playing it. It clears my mind for many things.
I think setbacks are inspiring in that way, because it is often what fills you up with a drive. They might be personal, or they might be more related to career. Do you have any setbacks or obstacles like
many.
That?
Yeah, well, many. Like leaving England was a setback, but I had to look at it as a step forward.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've had many setbacks. So I could have easily just said, you know, that's enough. I can't do this anymore. I'll just move back home, get a job, and be with my family. Like, I could have done that many times, but I've always put myself in the deep end, deep end to swim. And I have swum. So, you know, nothing's really a setback in my life anymore. I look at it as a experience. And I think once you do that and you turn your setbacks into life experience or something that you can, you know, not make that same mistake in the future, I think that's bigger than anything, really. Yeah, experience. So.
I think that is what makes you mature.
Yeah, I think so also.
So is, would you see England and Stoke as the that big no, moment?
Definitely not. No, maybe setback after Banyoyos when I didn't have a club for 6 months. What am I gonna do? Am I gonna just give up? Am I gonna go into a league where make or break? And I did that. I chose Finland. If I didn't do well, I could have just, no club would want me after that if I didn't do well there. I did well. Took a next step into Bulgaria. You know, I wanted to take a higher step again, because that's why I thought, okay, maybe take shorter contracts so I can just slowly gain my step up. Slowly, but then another good obstacle came across, and yeah, just bigger things in football.
Yeah, and with that in mind, it would be great to just get you some safety now.
Yeah,
and a chance to settle down.
That's definitely what I want.
And when family is so important as well.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely what we wanted coming here, and the plan is to stay here. So we just think about these next game, and then go from there.
Not everybody can have football as their work.
Yep.
What do you think has been your factor of success?
Well, look.
What are you doing that no one else does?
I do a lot. I work hard. I do more work than, how can I say? I train hard. You know, I look after myself, look after my body. You know, knock on wood, I haven't had many injuries. I would say two injuries was in my groins back in when I was in Australia when I was young, and now my face. I've never really had, you know, any like, you know, setbacks like that. So I've always looked after myself, made sure that, you know, my nutrition and recovery is on point. And yeah, you know, I'm lucky to play football as a job. Like, I get paid for playing football. Like, I have to be grateful. Before, you know, I probably didn't look at it like that, and that's probably why my attitude wasn't correct when I was young. But, you know, you're playing football for work. People are, you know, struggling, and people work dangerous jobs. I've had friends who have, like, who have died on their job because it's so dangerous, you know, and I'm playing football. So I've got to be grateful for that, and, not take it for granted.
Australia is playing World Cup
this
autumn. What do you need to do to get a place in the team?
that was my plan coming here. My sights was on that, to get a call up for the Socceroos for the World Cup, and if I do really well, I'm in the picture. I definitely am. I was.
Do you know if you're on the like the?
I was in when I was in Bulgaria. I was that was speaking about it. Me getting a call up. Then I moved to Denmark, lower league, and you know what? If I do really well, I just gotta pray that the right eyes are watching me, you know. And but that's my dream, and you know, I'm a bit upset, obviously, that I've had this setback with my face fracture, and it set me back quite a little bit. I've missed what, 4 or 5 games, important games, and yeah, that could have been the turning point really for everything. But you know, I've got to look at not as a setback, but as a reason to step up. I would say now, and yeah, do more than I could have.
Yeah, you have like, is it 7 games or something?
7 games left. Yeah.
Yeah, if you pick up your Bulgarian shape, you will have a chance.
I think so too. And I just, you know, I'm not really thinking about that. I just want to. I'm sure if I can help Sunsville stay up, then that's going to be a big plus in my career and my resume, and you know, that could maybe help me get that call up for the Socceroos for the World Cup. But
yeah, if you turn this around, then you have done a good job.
Yeah. So, because the Sweden league is a very high league, you know, it's not, I'm not respected. It's really respected in all of the world. So, yeah, we're not playing in a low league here. It's serious football here, and people do look at it seriously. Also in Australia, in the Socceroos. So, yeah.
We also have a listener's question. It's from a guy named Emre. He's a frequent listener. He's wondering, how was it to play with a player like Giannis Maniatis?
Oh, Maniatis, yes.
Yeah. A player with the 50 caps for the Greece national team.
Wow. Yeah, good question. He's a big character. He came in my last...
I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he was playing in Olympiakos, played in the Euros when they won the Euro.
Ah!
Yeah. Well, he was a bit younger at the time. But yeah, he's really big player in Greece, has a really big career. And yeah, when he came to Panionios, he was more of a... You know, everyone knew who he was, big name coming into the dressing room, and yeah, I was sitting next to him in the changing room. It was my changing room neighbor, so we got along really well. Good boy, good guy, helped me a lot, learned a lot from him. And
yeah. What did you learn?
He just taught me some things in football, because I actually played with him in midfield. I was always asking him questions like, oh, what, how can I do this better, how do you, you know, and he just told me, and
he was there for you.
Yeah, you know, many people wouldn't really care, but he actually gave me the time.
Who do you see as the best player you have played with?
Ooh.
Or trained with?
I trained with many good players. Arnautovic, really good player. Bojan, Shaqiri, Peter Crouch, good player.
I like Peter Crouch.
Yes, I like him too.
He has also been in Sweden.
Has he?
Yeah, in lower divisions. I think Hässleholm or something, like Division 2.
I was actually listening to a podcast of his the other day, and I heard something that he played. He went on loan somewhere. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, many English players have done that. Like Teddy Sheringham did as well, but he was in the top division. Wow. Vinny Jones.
He would have been young Peter Crouch when he came here.
Yeah. But I think his career is a bit like Jamie Vardy's career.
Starting in the low leagues and
working himself up.
That's really good. But I didn't know that. It's great.
What have we forgot? On this, it's a bit more than an hour.
I'm not sure. I think you've asked me quite a bit. I don't know what else I can say about myself other than what can I say? I don't know.
Yeah. How has this been?
Really good. It's really important because I want people to know, you know, they haven't really seen me yet play and seen what kind of character I am. But, you know, it's important for them to see, you know, who I am as a person, my values, and yeah.
Yeah, I think we know you a little bit more now, and it has been interesting to have you here.
I'm really glad for
this hour.
Thank you so much for having me. And to all the listeners, thanks for listening, and looking forward for good times ahead. So thanks for listening to us and hearing my story. So yeah,
the man behind the mask.
The man behind the mask, Peter Quillis.
I think it's very interesting with you, Peter, that you seem to be a tough player. And especially when I see you with the mask and playing with pain, and you have a tough way of playing, but you always seem like a humble person. Always saying hi and shaking hands, and
yeah, definitely. I would like to think so. Anyway, I don't know what image you've got of me from when you've met me, but I think I'm that person. Yeah, it's how I've been brought up, really, just to always put other people first and, you know, have a laugh a lot of the time. You can always joke with me. I'm always up for it. But, yeah, on the pitch, you know, I'm that player. I like to fight. But as well, like, my main attribute is being good with the ball. So, you know, I've got a bit of everything in my game, which I hope to bring here.
Thank you again, and yeah, we'll see each
thank
other.
Thank you so much.
Dagens vinnarprognos från Postkodlotteriet. Postnummer 65209, klart till halvklart och chans till vinst. 411-01, avtagande dimma med vinstmöjlighet i sikte. Övriga 10 500 postnummer, soligt och möjlighet att vinna.
Oavsett när sommaren kommer till dig så kan du och dina grannar få dela på 48 miljoner i sommaryran. Ta chansen nu i maj på postkodlotteriet.se.
Åldersgräns 18 år. Kontakta stödlinjen om du eller någon anhörig spelar för mycket.
Välkommen till Momang, ett nytt smidigare kasino från Svenska Spel, Sport och Casino, där du enkelt kan spela hur lite du vill. Idag har vi en stjärna från spelet Starburst här som ska berätta hur smidigt det är. Jaha, så smidigt alltså. Momang, för dig över 18 år. Stödlinjen.se.